and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A federal judge greenlit the Trump administration's buyout offer to federal workers.
The offer from the Trump administration to federal employees: resign now and get paid through September, otherwise risk getting cut. Wednesday, a federal judge ruling that offer can go forward. U.S. District Judge George O'Toole Jr. ruling that the federal unions who brought the case lack standing to sue and that the district court lacks jurisdiction to review the case because of a federal statute that sets out an administrative review process before the courts can take over. Dave Packer, ABC News.
After talking with Russia's Putin, President Trump declared the two leaders agreed the negotiations on ending the Ukraine war should begin. The president talked with Zelensky separately. Many were hoping inflation would subside in January. In fact, it rose 0.2% to 3% on an annual basis. Food prices, particularly record high prices for eggs, the big driver. This is ABC News. It was raining with a low ceiling when the U.S. Navy warplane crashed off San Diego.
Both pilots are said to be okay. An F-18 fighter jet went down in the water off the coast of San Diego. A nearby U.S. Customs and Border Protection boat recovered the pilots. Witnesses say after a fishing boat got to them first. Witnesses saying the pilots ejected the fighter jet in a steep bank, hit the water, and a huge amount of water came up. Two pilots were on board and got out. They were taken to a hospital after they were rescued.
ABC's Alex Stone. The last moment of the Titan. The Coast Guard released a brief audio recording of what's believed to be the Titan experimental submersible being crushed by water pressure on a dive to the wreck of the Titanic almost 2 years ago. Listen. The sound picked up by an underwater recorder 900 miles away. The five people aboard Titan were killed. The Coast Guard's final report on the mishap is expected in June. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number 3 all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Liam Neeson was supposed to be stepping back from action movies, but apparently the genre is too embedded in his DNA. The Irish actor just started filming The Mongoose, where he plays Fang Flanagan, a war hero being accused of crimes he supposedly did not commit. To add a little more macho to the fire is a character named Tanker, played by Ving Rhames. Michael Chiklis plays the bad guy and head of the Texas Highway Patrol, who chases Neeson literally throughout the film. Don't give up on action movies, Liam. Very few people can do them at your age. Sticking with action heroes, actor Jason Statham has a new film in the works called Black Bear. That might be a working title. There's not a whole lot of information about the plot, but I'm guessing there's a chase and probably some unexpected gunfire. Now that's sarcasm. Statham plays a man who gets pulled into his violent past and probably messes a few people up. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory continues. Additional 1 to 3 inches possible. A cloudy sky overnight. Low of 5. For tomorrow, a clearing sky for the afternoon. Highs into the low teens. Snow chances return on Friday. Accumulations likely again.
Currently, we're at 15.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Colin Cuff, he didn't cut a gay man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jaga. This month's episode of Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio is supported by the City of Minneapolis.
You know, Minneapolis is the home of the largest urban Native American population in the country, and we're thankful to have these updates from Minneapolis American Indian Community Specialists. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald. Ho-wah.
Ho, thank you. Buju, Ogadaki, Gabuit, Nindijnika, Sajishakni, Dundam. Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Christine McDonald. I'm the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And we're starting today's show with a special guest, Hennepin County Sheriff Dawana Witt. Welcome to Minneapolis Air, Sheriff. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to jump right in. Can you tell our audience a bit about you and your work in community?
Sure. So again, my name's Dawana Witt. I actually grew up in South Minneapolis. I am a Minneapolis Public School graduate, happy graduate alumni. I became a mom at 15, and it was in this community in which I had to use different resources in order to make sure that me and my daughter could thrive and not become a statistic, if you will. Graduated from South High School, earned scholarships to go to college. Ultimately, ended up working right back in the community at nonprofit organizations such as Pillsbury Neighborhood Services, Reuben Lynn Family Neighborhood Services, but working with families who battled chemical health challenges as well as had child protection cases. To put a long story short, I wanted to work with families that were like the one I grew up in, and I wanted to be a part of that change. One day, I went on a tour of the Hennepin County Jail, and they talked about how they needed women there, and specifically women of color. And it was on a whim that I applied for a job to be a detention deputy at the Hennepin County Jail. And it was interesting that I would do that because I was also that kid that grew up being afraid of police, not trusting police. And that was because a lot of the things that were going on in my home, in my community, invited police a lot. And with that being said, I've seen good policing, but I've seen bad policing too. So for me to take a job as a detention deputy surprised me too, but to me that was different from what I knew to be outside of jails. And so I did it. I applied to be a detention deputy. I got the job, but that job forced me to have more interactions, communications with law enforcement. And I quickly learned that, wait a minute, they're not all bad. This is a good job. And I want to be who me and my siblings needed to see as we grew up again in South Minneapolis. So I went back to school to become a licensed peace officer. I've now been in this field for, it'd be 25 years in May. In 2004, I did go to Dakota County Sheriff's Office, where I spent 16 years of my career there before coming back to Hennepin in 2019 as a major over the jail and courts. I did not know in 2019 that I would be running for sheriff, but in 2022, that's what I did. I was voted in. I won the election by overwhelming numbers in November of 2022, taking office in January. And now I'm in my third year as sheriff of Hennepin County, being the first woman of color in this state to achieve that position. And here I am.
Thank you. We're really excited to have you. I know a lot, like myself and a lot of my friends and colleagues, kind of fangirl over the fact that you're the sheriff and get the opportunity to meet with you. Can you tell us a bit about how you work with the Native community specifically?
Yes. You know, I think it's important for me to say this, is that the way that I see my position is it's all about being in community, right? And again, growing up in South Minneapolis, well, how does that resonate into working specifically with the Native community? Well, we grew up together in the same community. And so in my role here, you know, I have an entire unit that's dedicated to community engagement and community policing. I don't ever want to see us in that position where we're trying to build relationships that we should have been working on all along. Because when things go bad, not if, but when, those relationships and that trust has already have to be built. Again, knowing what it feels like not to have that is something I never forgot. But then engaging with the people outside of emergency response, it has to be a crucial foundation to trust, right? And then how does that translate into our efforts with the Native community? Well, when we're talking about relationship building, listening, and offering resources, we attend, not just attend, but we participate in events like Coffee at Little Earth, and then the Ba'ud Opioid in Unsheltered. We attend those bi-monthly, and then the monthly public safety meetings, going to the Little Earth public safety meetings, and offering resources and programs. And it doesn't stop there. Knowing the importance of our kids, making sure that we're bringing the programs that we offer, such as DARE. You know, we brought that back because that is so important for our kids to be aware of the dangers out there and how to make safe decisions for that stuff, but making sure that we're offering that into the Little Earth community was very important to us. And then our deputies, who also teaches there with the Boys and Girls Clubs, that's a part of Little Earth. But the goal is to teach kids about the realities of the world, right? But not just the realities of the world, but to build those relationships from young age. Our kids, who are the most important resource that we have right now, we have to teach them to be healthy, and that means making sure that we are inclusive of all of our communities and making sure that, again, we're not just showing up when bad things happen. We're there beforehand and making sure people know that they have safe choices within the sheriff's office if they need it. Sorry. I should say, though, we've also seen success with kids eagerly coming up to our deputies. Hugs, smiles, that's always a great thing to see. We've also invited some of the kids to participate in our Heroes and Helpers events, like, for example, Shop with a Cop. And then they were also able to choose a present for themselves and their families that were donated by Target. Those are memories that those kids will never forget. Again, you know, when I think about me in this role as the sheriff, we're not just about law enforcement. We are about public safety. Law enforcement is only one aspect of what we do. Building healthy relationship has to be important, and that has to include our Native community. You know, and then when we talk about safety in the Native community, you know I myself personally have attended meetings too, and I listened and I heard the concerns, and I understand the frustrations where people feel like they're not being heard. Well, again, being somebody who knows what that feels like to not be heard and people don't pay attention, that's something that is very serious to me. I know what that feels like, and I would never put that on another person, but we responded. You know, we've increased patrols in Minneapolis. I know that I've had contacts with people from our Native community. Where are the hotspots? Where we need to show up? And then our Hennepin Impact Team will try to be in those areas more. And then the community engagement with our deputies, you know, it's all different aspects of the sheriff's office. And again, not just enforcing laws, but also just providing that true meaning of what public safety is and being there before things happen, building those relationships so people trust us to help them and not fear us as if we are there to harm them. And I, again, as a person who knows what that feels like, making sure that our Native community don't have to feel that way by doing the best that we can to show up and build those relationships.
Mm-hmm. I just want to uplift like your response specifically around the Hennepin Impact Team. You attended one of the community like emergency public safety meetings in the American Indian community, and you specifically connected with community and sent that impact team out. And I don't feel like that gets back to the community enough. So thank you for that response and that issue.
You know, if I can add on that too, one of the things that we talked about, right, is drug trafficking and human trafficking in that area. And we connected our detective who works human trafficking to the community members. And that relationship has grown. And again, we were able to be effective. Again, no community should feel like, okay, we have these concerns and they're not heard. And so it was my pleasure, my honor to make sure that we are not just having conversations, the same conversations, but we're actually acting on it. We now have a sergeant who's overseeing our human trafficking unit. And again, it's about building those relationships and finding out where it is we need to be and knowing that we're in this together. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of that community, because it's going to take all of us.
Hey, we'll be right back. And you're listening to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave, but remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio is supported by the City of Minneapolis. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. Thank you. Tonight we're joined by our guest, our special guest, Sheriff DeJuana Witt. One of the things I love is seeing people's reaction when they find out that you're a Southsider. And so getting to know that you're from around here, you know the community, It's where the majority of American Indians live in the city, is on the south side. And we were talking about how important it was to feel heard by your representatives, your policymakers, your law enforcement. Can you tell us, are there opportunities for people to get involved in the work that you do?
Yes, thank you for that question, Christine. There is absolutely opportunities to get involved, and I would love it for people to get involved because I want us to represent the communities that we are, that we're in every day, right? So, excuse me, one of the ways to get involved is we do have a Citizens Academy. It's an 8-week program in which we teach people about public safety and all of the opportunities here at the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office and exactly what we do. You know, I have this thing where I say that, you know, it is our job to educate people. There's some people in our profession that sometimes get mad because people don't understand. And I remind people that sometimes we have to take 2 steps back. And remember, once we've been doing this for a while, there's certain things that become second nature to us. And we forget that that causes a disconnection with people that are not in this line of work. So offering that Citizens Academy is a way where we teach people everything that we do. But, you know, it's not us just speaking at the community. It's also taking those questions from the community. Why do we do this? Why do you do that? And that's very important because, again, sometimes, you know, things have been done so many times and repetitively, we forget about the basics. So I do encourage people to please sign up to be in our Citizens Academy. Something else that I have, because I'm a realist, and sometimes I tell people that even me, right, I need to be checked. So I have what I call our CAB, our Community Advisory Board, and I also have a Youth Community Advisory Board. Those boards are year round. Sorry, and for our adults, it consists of people who live, work in Hennepin County, anywhere in Hennepin County. But those are typically like my go to people, where, you know, if we have policy changes or if there's things where, you know, there might be some ethical questions to this, I talk to them, you know, and I ask them to review it because it's very important in the public safety field to make sure you have those connections with people who will tell you if something doesn't seem right or doesn't work for their community or question the why we do that thing, do the things that we do. And then our youth CAB, again, knowing what it feels like to be, especially a kid where people don't listen. My youth CAB consists of 10th through 12th graders from schools throughout Hennepin County. And, you know, one of my favorite questions that I ask them is, okay, how are we adults screwing it up for you this time? And it's a very interactive group. But again, to see things through our young people's eyes, again, our greatest resource, how are they perceiving the communities that they're living in? What is it that they need? We have to make sure that our young people are heard. So that, it was a no-brainer for me. I'm pretty sure I'm the only agency that has a youth advisory cap, but it's making sure that they know that they're important too, and how they're affected by the choices that we as adults make. How does that affect them? And then something else that we have that I, for our people who are maybe a bit younger, but we have an explorer program for people ages 14 to 20 who are just interested in the profession. Doesn't mean you want to become somebody in law enforcement. Maybe you want to be a lawyer. Maybe you don't want to have anything to do with law enforcement. You're just interested in the profession. Well, that's a year-round program where it's kind of like a team sport because these kids actually compete against other law enforcement agencies and police interactions and tactics. It's really cute to watch because they have their own little uniforms and everything like that. But I used to be the advisor of one of the advisors of the Explorer program. And not only do they compete at a state level, they can compete on a national level. Again, that's for kids that are ages 14 to 20 years old.
What type of things are they competing in?
So some of the scenarios are crisis negotiation. And if you think about, okay, real life skills, kids are dealing with crises all the time. So how to de-escalate, traffic stops. There is the crime prevention presentation that they have to do and be able to present and take tests, burglary, crash reconstruction. So, you know, something that even as when I was the advisor of the program on the state board for it, they're life skills that kids can take with them forever. Mm-hmm. If I can just share one, just a really quick story.
Yeah.
With one kid, his name was Matt. He knew he did not want to be in law enforcement. But Matt, he went to work for American Heart Association, I believe it was. And one day he got a call, and I should say there has been some time now since he had been the explorer, my explorer, so I hadn't talked to him for a while. But his mom found me, and she reached out to me, and she talked to me about him being taking a phone call at his job, and it was somebody who was contemplating ending their life. Mm-hmm. And Matt, he resorted back to the skills that he learned as an explorer to keep that person on the phone until first responders could get to them. And his mom felt it was so important to reach out to me to let me know that what he learned there, he translated into helping him in his adulthood in the work that he did to save a life. Mm-hmm. So the Explorer program isn't just about having fun, even though it's a lot of fun, but it teaches kids life skills and leadership skills. And again, we're always looking for kids to join our team, and you have to be 14 to 20 years of age, and you do not have to want to become a licensed peace officer to do it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're hiring. I am always looking for, you know, people to work, whether it's a sworn or non-sworn civilian positions for this agency. It is really important to have people from the community in these public service jobs.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what the community said. We want people who know our community, who knows the people in our community, who cares about our community. So who better to hire than people from the community? And we are always hiring.
Yeah. So a couple one question, how many different cities does the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office serve?
45
different cities. That's a lot.
But I think it's important to note, like, you know, we have cities where we're contracted because they have no primary police department for their cities. So for cities that do have their police departments, they truly do have primary jurisdiction, but it is the statutory mandate for the sheriff to keep peace within the county. So we go where we're needed, anywhere within Hennepin County, and that includes all of our waters, such as our lakes and rivers as well.
Any of our youth got involved in the Explorers, do they have to find their own way to the different meetings across the county, or do you provide transportation?
So that's something that I know that we have been working on, you know, because it's a big county. Our Explorers typically practice in Brooklyn Park, but we're trying to think, okay, how can we maybe rotate some of those meetings around to make sure that it's more equitable to everyone, because that is truly a barrier. Is getting people, getting kids to those meetings. But we have some great advisors, that's our deputies that run the program, and they do help in more ways than I should say that they're paid for. They're doing it because they just love the program and they love what it does for our kids.
And then the other thing, like the activities that are in the Citizens Academy, I think it is. And I think you also do some things with your community advisory boards as well, but giving them the experience to see what deputies have to do and how they have to respond, I think is important. I just feel like there's so much misconception about how law enforcement actually responds to things because of movies and because of TV shows. And they think like there's this automatic response that's happening. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important if people can go through those programs and learn what the deputies do. And then the other thing is making sure people can find out where they can apply to be a part of the Citizen Academy or the Community Advisory Board or Explorers. Where would they find that information?
So thank you for that question, too. So transparency is important, but what's also more important is accessibility. So they can go to our Hennepin County website, but we also have an app. We have an app now, y'all. Oh. Right? It's not just about people pulling the information, but it's about us pushing.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A federal judge greenlit the Trump administration's buyout offer to federal workers.
The offer from the Trump administration to federal employees, resign now and get paid through September, otherwise risk getting cut. Wednesday, a federal judge ruling that offer can go forward. U.S. District Judge George O'Toole Jr. ruling that the federal unions who brought the case lack standing to sue and that the district court lacks jurisdiction to review the case because of a federal statute that sets out an administrative review process before the courts can take over. Dave Packer, ABC News.
After talking with Russia's Putin, President Trump declared the two leaders agreed the negotiations on ending the Ukraine war should begin. The president talked with Zelensky separately. Many were hoping inflation would subside in January. In fact, it rose 0.2% to 3% on an annual basis. Food prices, particularly record high prices for eggs, the big driver. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number 3 all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a comedy to look forward to, starring a rock star duo of Bill Murray and Kristen Wiig. The two Saturday Night Live alums will headline the cast of Epiphany, which will be directed by Max Barbacow, who also directed Palm Springs. The plot sees Kristen Wiig as an heiress who has blown through her fortune and now has 2 weeks to marry a rich man or lose everything and end up homeless. She meets Murray's character, who is a math savant and billionaire. Really hoping there's no sex between the two leads in this film. As of February 14th, YouTube will be 20 years old. The social media platform, which started with people posting home movies and personal videos, has turned into a global phenomenon and a major studio that even makes feature films in 4K. According to Deadline, YouTube just reached another milestone. More people now use the TVs in their home when watching YouTube content than they do on their phones. Go figure. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory continues. Additional 1 to 3 inches possible. A cloudy sky overnight. Low of 5. For tomorrow, a clearing sky for the afternoon. Highs into the low teens. Snow chances return on Friday. Accumulations likely again.
Currently, we're at 15.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will recap the status of the Trump administration's multiple court cases. Plus, why don't Republican elected officials want federal cuts in their states? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio is supported by the City of Minneapolis. And here's guest host Christine McDonald.
Thank you, and welcome back. Our second segment tonight, we are joined by Danielle Grant, who is from Achieve Twin Cities, and she's here to talk with us about the Step Up Youth Internship Program. Danielle, welcome. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Absolutely. First, thanks for having me, Christine. It's really fun to do this with you because we've known each other for quite a long time. Yeah. I'm Danielle Grant, and I'm the president and CEO of Achieve Twin Cities. I'm Little Shell Ojibwe and a Turtle Mountain descendant. And for about 30 years now, I've been doing work in Minneapolis primarily, but also St. Paul with our young people. So I've worked in youth development as well as education. And for the last 8 years, have been leading Achieve Twin Cities, which is a career and college organization. And we provide career and college advising, support, career exposure, and resources to students in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're actually in 27 different high schools across the two districts, as well as partnering with the City of Minneapolis and other partners on the Step Up Summer Youth Employment Program. In addition, we manage scholarships and school funds and grants for teachers and all kinds of other fun things with Minneapolis Public Schools. I've been working in our community with our young people for a long time, and really excited to be here to talk about Step Up today.
We're excited to have you. Thank you, Danielle. Can you tell us, what is the Step Up program?
Well, the Step Up program is a nationally recognized youth employment program over the summer. It offers paid training, summer internships, and career experiences. And it's a partnership with the City of Minneapolis, Achieve Twin Cities, obviously, Minnesota DEED, and Project for Pride and Living. So we work with Minneapolis youth between 14 and 21, so teens and young adults, and provide them with work readiness training and then a paid summer experience. So we were working with about 1,000 young people every summer. And this has been around since 2003. So after this many years, I mean, there's something like, you know, 30,000 alumni of Step Up, and they're out in the community. And so they get to have their paid summer internship and earn, you know, real money and learn real skills. And what I love to say about it is an opportunity for them to try something on. So, you know, it's a chance to try on a career, see what it's really like, take those interests that they may have and see what kind of careers are out there that might be aligned with that interest. So we also have a paid online training program. So, you know, some years we do not have enough internships for all of the students that are interested, but we, for those students, we have like online modules that they can do over the summer and still earn some money and get some experience and knowledge about careers. And those students can earn up to $600 for doing all of those modules. But, you know, like I said, our alumni are everywhere. I love it when I run into them. It just puts a smile on my face, when I see them, and, you know, it's really a wonderful thing to be able to be part of this project with such great partners too.
You just struck me with that, thinking about the alumni that have come through. That's incredible. I remember I was in our human resources department here at the city when we first started with Step Up, and I had the opportunity to have an intern work with me at one time, But with saying that, so talking about there was not enough internships at times, is there a way to get organizations involved? Is there requirements to determine if an organization can be, and who pays the intern?
Yeah, great questions. So we are currently recruiting for both students, for young people, and I say students, but actually they don't actually need to be in school. So young people can be part of Step Up up until they enroll in post-secondary or they're 21. So, you know, we do have young people who maybe are not in school or have already graduated. We're talking about young people. So we're recruiting young people right now, but we're also recruiting jobs. So, you know, if you are an employer, whether it's a small business or you work at a larger company, I do encourage you to look into if you could host a Step Up intern. We have people working at the largest companies in the Twin Cities and also like at really small companies. Mm-hmm. We're also in working in the parks, working in the community with nonprofits, with community organizations. It's a really wide variety of different employers. The wages in general are paid by the employer. However, with some of those community-based organizations, some of the nonprofits, we are able to offer some wage subsidy for that. So, you know, don't let it stop you. If you are a nonprofit and you are interested, like, hey, like this sounds like something we would like to do, let's explore it together and see what we can make work, because there are wage subsidy funds available for smaller employers to help make that happen.
That's great. I didn't know. I remember when we first got Step Up, I didn't realize that it was across the city. I thought that was just a partnership with the city of Minneapolis and Step Up. So it's nice to find out that it is way bigger than that. And youth have that option and that opportunity to learn in so many different places, so many different opportunities for work.
There's so many different kinds of jobs that they can get connected to. So, you know, you name it, they can do it. I mean, communications, marketing, arts, you know, education, like, you know, office supports. You know, we used to think about like, oh, an intern will come in and like do filing or something. And it's not like that anymore. I mean, they're really working on incredible projects and getting such great experience. And, you know, sometimes they come back to school in the fall and they say, that's it. I figured out what I want to do. Like, I know for sure what I want to do. And other times they're like, I know for sure I don't want to do that. But that's just,
they've learned something either way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So can you tell us, why should someone join Step Up?
Well, like I said, it's an opportunity to get real world experience. So, you know, it's a resume builder. You are going to meet people who might become your mentor for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, you may, like I said, find your exact career field, or you find what you don't want to do. And then you go back the next year and try something else. But I think it's a great opportunity for them to explore, get some support in that exploration. They get to be involved, like I said, with things that you wouldn't even, you know, believe. Like, I'm always stunned every year, like what Step Up interns are able to do, and they're earning real money. So I never had an internship as a kid because I had to have a job, right? Like, internships weren't paid when I was coming up. So, you know, this is not like, it's real wages and real work. And they are going to build a network through this. You know, we have some interns who come back to the same company multiple years, and others that are trying multiple different things if they're in it for several years. So I think it's, you know, for me, it's just like a, should be a no brainer. Young people, if you're interested in a summer job, like, try Step Up.
And then what was the youngest?
14.
14.
So,
yeah,
14
so that's
years
an
old.
Opportunity there too. A lot of places are like, you gotta be 16.
Yeah. So 14 year olds are eligible. And they're working in those entry level things. So you may see, like, out in our parks in Minneapolis, you may see a crew of young, you know, young people working, or you may see a group of 14, 15 year olds working with a youth serving organization, like leading other like younger kids. And so, you know, everything is done so that they have the support they need to be successful and are trained and supervised so that they're able to really do real work, but learn a lot when they're doing it. So
I remember when I had my Step Up intern, I felt like I already had some idea of how to work with a youth. Do you have, and I probably didn't have all the knowledge I thought. I probably could have used some training. Is there training for some of the businesses that are willing to take up Step Up?
Yeah, I love that you asked that, because this is like something that people are always afraid of. And I can tell you, every year we do mock interviews, and you know, I look at the young people's faces and they're nervous for the interview. Yeah. And then I look at the adults and they are way more nervous to talk to the young people. So we do offer training. We do supervisor training for the folks that are going to be supervisors, because a lot of times the supervisors, they maybe have never supervised someone before. Mm-hmm. And this will be their first time. And it's a young person. Mm-hmm. So young. You know, we do training about like youth culture and like lingo and how they communicate, you know, while we're training the young people about how to use email. Mm-hmm. And communicate with adults. We're also training adults and how to talk to young people.
Yeah. And how to create a good space and a good experience for them, mm-hmm. and understanding like this is their first time for a lot of them in a workplace environment.
Right. And we want it to be a really positive experience for both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And can you repeat again, tell us again, what kind of jobs that the youth can be connected to, the different experiences that they might get?
Yeah, I mean, there are all kinds. So like arts and media, like I said, community-based organizations. You know, we have quite a few internships that have been in, you know, banking and finance over the years. You know, there's different tech jobs, marketing, urban farming is something that's been coming up more and more. And we find a lot of young people are interested in that. You know, because they're really interested in environmental jobs.
That leads to food sovereignty.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we've had, and like teaching assistants, like they're helping out with summer school. They're helping out with summer programming for nonprofits in our community. So really, like pretty much anything you can think of, there are step-up internships available.
Do you want to give us where people can look up information for Step Up Internships?
Yeah. So, you know, want to make this as easy as possible. So for both students and for potential employers, you can apply at stepupmpls.org. So stepupmpls.org. And for employers, you can click on there and indicate that you're interested and you know, write your information and people will... you know, get back to you right away because we are recruiting for internships right now. And the deadline for students is this Friday.
Hey, we'll be right back, and you're listening to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
All of us want to make a difference. As veterans, we committed to protect our country. We served and sacrificed for the things that mattered most. Those experiences shaped our lives. Now we're husbands, wives, parents, and friends. And sometimes we forget that the biggest challenge can be asking for support. The Veterans Crisis Line is here for veterans. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. It matters.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio is supported by the City of Minneapolis. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thanks for joining us again this evening. Our guest tonight is Danielle Grant from Achieve Twin Cities. And before break, we were talking about some of the different opportunities that the youth have to spend their internships at. Danielle, can you tell us, are there different ages can go into different places? How mm-hmm. would that work?
Yeah, so we have two levels of the program. Level one is for the 14 and 15 year olds. So those internships, as I said, tend to be, frequently you're working with a group of other interns. You might be working maybe like a little more closely supervised. Just you're brand new to employment. And then level two are the little more experienced, so 16 to 21. I mean, it may be your first job, but you might be the only intern in your department or at a particular organization, and you're really working directly with a mentor, your supervisor, and so, maybe have a little more responsibility in those roles. So it's really like as you get into level two, you have more experience and more responsibility. So it's, makes it so it's easy to start when you're 14. It's not as high of a barrier, I guess, as intimidating because mm-hmm. maybe you're going to be working with a group of other young people your age.
Yeah, coming into the workplace can be intimidating at such a young age. And so this is such a great opportunity mm-hmm. to get kids acclimated to showing up to work every day, what your expectations are, reporting to somebody, taking direction from somebody.
Exactly. And, just communication and professional communication. How do you write emails that are professional? How do you, make sure you're going to be there on time? Or how do you communicate if you're not going to be able to be there at mm-hmm. a certain time? These are all things that young people need our help to learn how to do.
Yep. So how do students apply for Step Up, and when does the 2025 summer internships start?
So they can apply online at stepupmpls.org, and they, just sign up there. That will start them in the process once they get signed up, and the deadline for that is this Friday, the 14th. So it is coming up. So it is important
It's a couple of days.
For people to do it. This week, it's a couple days away.
Is that a hard stop at midnight then?
It is. Yeah. So, that is the deadline. After they get accepted into the program, we verify that they, for example, that they live in Minneapolis. You do need to live in Minneapolis to be part of this program. Once they're accepted into the program, then they need to complete training. So you have to complete the training in order to be eligible for a Step Up experience. So the training happens between March and April. There's different times that you can choose to do training. There's training is both online and in person. So there's kind of different options there. And you have to complete that training to be eligible for the internship. So, between May and June, they'll be gearing up for their Step Up experience. So that's when we do the matching. So, we find out from students, what are you interested in? And then, we've got this big group of internships and we start matching students with the internships that are available. So, if you have a student who says they're really interested in, something in STEM, we're looking for something in STEM for them, or they're really mm-hmm. interested in, with the previous guest tonight, they're interested in law enforcement. We're looking for something like that for them. So they get to try something that might be a match for them. So if you're not matched with a paid internship, that's when you can participate in that paid online training program mm-hmm. over the summer and still earn $600 to complete that. So, so it's really kind of from now on, it's a process. So you apply, then you do the next step, which is the training. And then there's the placement, and then you start the internship in mid-June. So, school gets out, and it's pretty quick after school gets out, internships kick off.
So what about the employers that are looking to hire youth? Mm-hmm. Do they have the same deadline? Is that February 14th or?
Well, employers have a little more time. But we love it if they're making commitments now. You know, we are still looking for employers through the end of March. So the deadline for employers to make job commitments is March 31st. You know, we ask them to, you know, for their pledge. So certain employers are pledging, you know, multiple internships. And, you know, if you're an employer and you're like, I really am interested in this, but I don't quite know what they could do, we will work with you. We have years and years of job descriptions that have been effective step up internships. And so we can work with you to figure out what will work with your company. So you have until March 31st, but I do encourage people to reach out, you know, sooner than that. So we have a chance to work with you and figure out what those jobs could actually be.
So when you, after they get through the process, and you're starting to match, is like when you do mock interviews, is mock interviews a part of that process?
It is a part of the process. So students are required to participate in mock interviews. So, you know, they've gotten training and now they're going to practice, you know, so we have a mock interview event and it's been wonderful to have it back in person, to be honest, Christine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We had to do it virtual for a little while there and it's just so much better to be in person. But, you know, you would get a bunch of volunteers to come and, you know, they work with, you know, we get 100 kids a night at least and they come in and, you know, if you want to feel good about the world, go to mock interviews because it's just a full house of young people and they just are interested in getting a job and they're so excited.
100 a night. So how many applications do you end up receiving and then how many mock interviews do you have to plan for?
Well, mock interviews, you know, as I said, we usually have been placing about 1,000 interns a summer. So, you know, by the, at the mock interview stage, you know, you're talking about 1,200 to 1,500 kids. So it's been, you know, over 3 or 4 nights. So, you know, you split that number of kids up, you get a couple hundred kids per night. So, you know, we get volunteers come and, you know, we cycle through and they maybe get to talk to 3 or 4 kids. In an evening. And I always say the best bang for your buck in volunteering you're ever going to get in your life. Because it's super, it's super fun actually. Yeah.
Do you know about how many of those, applications are from return students?
We have a really good rate of returning students. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, like what percentage, but you know, we do get a lot of returning students. And as I said, sometimes going back to the same employer, like the employer will say, we loved them and we want them back this summer. You know, we have young people who do this for 4 or 5 years.
Nice.
You know, which is, I think just really wonderful because think of that resume that they have to show when they are getting their, you know, first like full-time permanent job.
Before, thank you for joining us again. And before we go, one more time, can you tell us where folks can find out how to apply to be an intern or how to be an employer?
Absolutely. So it's stepupmpls.org.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, great show, Christine. And this has been Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio. Everyone have a great evening.
Thank you.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, this year they have snow. Sean Connolly will be joining us to talk about the Birkebeiner. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. More snow on the way. All the details coming up. Don't miss
Matinair
it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Trump administration coming for so-called sanctuary states and cities. Attorney General Pam Bondi announced she's suing New York's governor, attorney general, and motor vehicles chief over the state's sanctuary laws, which, among other things, bar police during traffic stops from asking about immigration status.
New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today.
She previously sued Illinois and Chicago, and she warns they're going after others.
If you are a state not complying with federal law, you're next. Get ready.
After talking with Russia's Putin, President Trump said the two leaders agreed that negotiations on ending the Ukraine war should begin immediately. Once one of the most powerful figures in Illinois politics, a federal jury in Chicago convicted 82-year-old former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan on corruption charges. This is ABC News.